I'm Joe Camacho, and the session I'm going to be sharing with you is Storytelling and Dance of Old Hawaii. Yesterday I started the session with simply introducing myself and telling a little bit about the culture and the history of my island, Hawaii. There are some of you that were in that session yesterday, and I was going to repeat the same things today, but I decided to take it another step further because there's so much history involved with my islands and the people that come from that place. To tell you first, my culture is passed on orally. It was an oral tradition, so therefore, to keep it alive, they had to make up stories that could enhance the things that took place. In my land, events of specific importance were kept alive by putting a story together, putting it into a chant so it could be remembered, and the last part of it was putting it to dance so that it could be enhanced. The word becomes alive. The word becomes visible. And in terms of the worship tradition that I come from, one of the important things is the word. So for Hawaiians, there is no storytelling without the words being put together. And in that light, there is no dance without the words. Same thing for coming together in worship, that the whole gathering is specifically based around coming to hear the word. And with that in mind, I'm going to open up this session with the word that comes from the land of Hawaii, and it's the expression of ha, or the breath of life. And what I would normally do in a setting such as this would be I would have to call to you and beckon to you to welcome me into your presence. And this is what I would do. Ho nau naita hala me ka lehua, e hale lehua no ia nakanoe. E ia no I nei, e ia li a nei, ho I oi kai ki mai, ahiki mai no oe, ahiki mai no me ke aloha, aloha e, aloha e, aloha e. Simply say, aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you. Mahalo. That was a very important part of bringing people together. The words that were spoken were words of greeting. They were homages paid to where we come from in the light of the people who live on that land. And I use the word light of the people. Part of this ha, or Hawaii, there's a translation that I can give you. Ha means the breath of life. And the breath of life is exchanged when two kanaka, men, women of the land, come together like the Eskimos. They would place noses next to each other and they would go. This attitude of taking in the air together. Hawaiians believed in that source of the air, all life can live. With the absence of that, there is no life. But a bonding then takes place once two people have done this together. That is, the spirit of life that we both took in now bonds us to one another. I cannot go out and maliciously do something to offend, to create any friction between the two of us because we are bonded by this air, this ha. The word vai means water. And in Hawaii, in the old days, if you had fresh water on your land, you were a rich, rich person because nothing grew without that water. They had salt water all the way around, but that could not produce anything. But the fresh water you needed to live and to sustain life. And E means to be within. So the breath, ha, of life, vai, in the water. the breath of life in the water. And this is what we, who are from the islands, have been constantly working with. We who are Maoli, and I will refer to myself as being Maoli, not Hawaiian. Hawaii because it's the name of the islands that were founded by different explorers. But in actuality, Maoli, the word Maoli means one original of the land. And you will hear the word Maori for people of New Zealand because they refer to themselves as being native to that land. Yes?
How do you spell Maori?
Maori is spelled M-A-O-L-I. And the New Zealanders spell it M-A-O-R-I. And when they say it, it sounds like Maori. But that all means one who's originally of the land. I need to translate that for you because I did it yesterday's session. Ha was to mean the breath of life. And a'ole means not to have. And remember I told you about how they greeted one another? It was the together. And when you normally greet one another, this is the way you do it. You go. This handshake is familiar for you. For many people in the South Pacific, it is not. This translates haole as not having the breath of life. And that's only because of the greeting that took place. And what happens is when you say, well, somebody's haole, there are Hawaiians that I know of that I would call haole because they do not breathe the breath of life. And to be a breather of life means to be one who encourages all life. You are a caretaker of it. You are also one who is called there to enable it to be the best it is called to be. Okay? To not have that means to be haole. And haole can be a situation where you're not capable of knowing what is needed. Okay? And for myself, growing up as a child with my grandmother, I am one of 15 children. I'm the 12th child. When my grandmother took me to live with her, I had no idea that all these other brothers and sisters were not taken to her house. If I had known that, I would have said, you know what? Choose somebody else. When my grandmother took me to live in her home, I learned many things by simply watching and observing. There is a word that we use in my land, and it's called kuli kuli. People used to think kuli kuli meant shh. It doesn't. Kuli kuli means, oh, noisy, noisy, noisy. When somebody said, oh, kuli kuli, they're telling you, wow, you're making so much noise, and you are supposed to go, uh-oh, I better cool it. So somebody simply drew my attention to my actions and my activities, and I had to make the decision. And my grandmother raised me that way, and finally, when I left her home and went to live with my own parents, I had to learn another way. So sometimes I get to be schizoid, but that's okay. It's been a growing thing because it's come from my grandmother's raising me and all her knowledge that she had until she was 84. And I was given all of this knowledge. And after yesterday's session, as we were walking to the lodge, I turned to Linda Hagen and I said, sometimes I wish my grandmother didn't raise me. And she says, why? And I said, because there's so much. And after yesterday's session, I was like, what did I forget to give? And, oh, you know, and you get caught into this. And I had written down everything in black and white, but if I do not know it already, it's not, you know, it's like, it's not pa'a, it's not within me. And so with that in mind, I need to tell you some of the things I did forget to say. Like one, the first dancers in the islands were men. They were not women. The reason for this is all the events that took place on those islands were considered to be important events, and the men were simply feeling the center to say, we need to keep this and to perpetuate it. We need to be the ones who make sure that it is kept and housed in this specific way. The women were the ones who had the children, and they were also the ones who took care of the baby's spiritual needs too. Not just physical needs, but spiritual needs. They are the ones to help the baby's center. They are the ones who were always with the children till they reached a certain age of understanding, and then they would enter into the houses with the men. But prior to that, they were always raised with their moms. And because of that, the bloodline for the Hawaiians do not go by the father's side, they go by the mother's side. Again, the bloodline and the discussion and decision as to whose line they will follow is not daddy's line, it is mommy's line. So their background and genealogy is stronger on the mother's side than it is on the father's side. And I'm fortunate that my mother is still alive, and we've heard this phrase in our family for years. My mother's side and my father's side are all entertainers. And in Hawaii, at one point in time, to be Hawaiian was considered second class, was considered no class, was considered you just didn't want to be Hawaiian. And this took place when we became westernized. While we were becoming a territory into statehood, a lot of the things that marked off who were Hawaiians were looked down upon. We were different because both sides of the families were all into entertainment and we didn't have a choice. It was just constantly used around us. And because of that, a lot of the things that I learned, I took in just because I lived the life. The other part about it is our language. When my mother was growing up, she was forbidden to speak the language in school. And part of it was that she was told if she was found speaking it, she would be removed. Today, which is some 50 years later, we now have preschools that friends of mine have started through the university and through Kamehameha School for Boys and Girls. And these schools are taught in fluent Hawaiian. The moment the child enters the gateway, there is no English spoken, only Hawaiian. And they learn everything with uses of materials that come from the islands, thanks to Montessori. We won't push it any further. With that in mind, I would like to tell you some stories that come from Hawaii. Most especially things that speak about the spirit. One of the things that's so important about the spirit is that if it is not centered, if it is not able to see and to be solid within itself, it flanders and it has a tendency of falling to the side. It eventually dies and it becomes without the breath. And that can be something that happens to a person either through the experience of life that they grow up with or things that happened around them. That they can make a definite scar upon the psyche of the person. This I can speak about because growing up in a neighborhood where I was with other Hawaiian children, then having my grandmother die and moving to a neighborhood where I was one of the few Hawaiians, but being raised with majority of Japanese and Chinese, we had a very different discussion about what were values. Very different. And with the Hawaiians, to sit down and to weave a basket that's made of leaves that come from the pandanus tree. This is something of value. The reason is because the time you took to make it, I could not take from my life and give it to you and say, here, for the X amount of hours you did this, I'll give you back those hours in your life. Could never do that. Because of that, it had great value. These kinds of things, when we look at it today in terms of the Hawaiian living in the Western culture, is very different. It's very different. For those of you who are involved with the arts here, you know what it means to sit down to do a piece of pottery. And the work that goes into that time, nobody can give you that back in your life force. Same with the Hawaiians. And because of those things, they were considered to be very, very valuable. Making a lei and sitting down and doing a lei. Picking flowers and with the person that you're going to give the lei to, with that person in your mind, fixed in your mind so whatever flower you put to the lei depicts who they are to you. That took time. The image of that lei, when it's completed, the beauty that is there, the fragrance that it enhances, says from your being to that person, this is who you are to me. Those are the values, the valuable things that we grew up with. There are so many other things about this value status that exists there, and I would like to share with you now where some of it comes from with this next chant. The chanter is using a drum, which we call a pahu. And the chant was written in the, well, it was done, not written. It was chanted in the 1600s when it was put to a recording tape, was somewhere in the late 1800s by the Bishop Museum. The gentleman that you'll hear chanting was one of the renowned chanters of Hawaii, and he died about 4 or 5 years ago. We now have a hula competition in the islands. As I said, hula is to tell the story, to bring out a specific event. In this chant that I'm going to do for you, it's called Kauli Lua Ike Anu Wai Ale Ale. Wai Ale Ale, written down in Guinness's Book of Records, is the wettest spot in the world. There is over 530 inches of rain a year. Wai Ale Ale sits on the oldest island of Kauai. I've made trips there twice. After my second trip, I said, that is enough. It is completely surrounded by marshlands, and there is a vine there that grows, which is called the Maile. Maile for us has a very strong symbolic meaning. It means this is something that is sacred, it is something from the land, and the fragrance never, never leaves its vine. And in this chant, we tell about the righteousness of one's life. Kauli lua ike anu o wai ale ale means you can be proud and cold-hearted. You can be proud and cold-hearted, which depicts that perhaps you feel you are so righteous that maybe you need to take a good look at the house that you come from. Meaning, what's inside here? The chant also makes references to one who loves and who cares, because the proud and cold-heartedness leaves when that love is there. So these two images play in this chant. And as I said, this was recorded by the Bishop Museum, so I like to plop it on. And then before I do that, these leaves that I put together to make a skirt it's spelt T-I, pronounced as T like T-E-A, and these leaves grow on a stock at home. They are found through most of the South Pacific. You know this, Anne.
Yes,
you too, aren't you? Yes. These go through most of the South Pacific. They're used for cooking. They're used for medicinal purposes. The child is found with fever, or anyone for that matter. You would take one of these leaves and wrap it around the person's head. In a matter of an hour, the fever is removed. The old days, it was also used, as I say, for cooking and also for dancing with. The leaves will last for about a month if it's taken care of. All I do is simply tie them onto the rope. It's kind of cold because I had it in the refrigerator. Amen for refrigeration. Today, they also use it for making leis. And that's something that was just brought back. It was an art that was done in the late 1800s, and nobody had done it for over 75 years. So with that in mind, I'm going to put this tape on and share with you the story of that, the dance of that story I just told you.
Away.
I, Kauli Lua, Ike Anu, O Wai Ale Ale. Oh, That story again simply speaks about an attitude that we as people of an island have had to deal with. Because we were isolated, we did not have the chance to jump into our boats and say, "Laters, I'm moving to another island." With that in mind, this whole thing of being there, of being present, and you're spiritually being there and being present, it's always called. I'm aware even today, it's like when I had to leave there to travel anywhere else, I'd have to get on a flight. And because of that, I'm aware that when I'm leaving, I don't know when it is the next time that I'll see the persons who are there, who are special to me, who are people of my heart. And in those times, it was important to say, if this heart is cold, how much more distant will you be when you leave? So these are some of the storytelling things which were made very important in the mind and in the heart of the people that come from our islands. There are other chants that were put together, storytelling. There is the story that I told yesterday about Pele. And in this story, it speaks about two sisters, Pele and the favorite of Pele, Hiiaka. Pele was able to change forms. She is considered to be the goddess of the volcano. Her abilities to change into a young woman, or to the actual appearance that she has, which is an old crone. She has a special sister who she carried from Tahiki Mai in her arms. Her name was Hiiaka. At the end of the chants or stories that were ever written for Pele, you will always hear this phrase, "Hei noa no Hiiaka I kapoli o Pele." In the name of Hiiaka, who's carried in the arms of Pele. Just to say to people, you fear this person, but listen how gentle she was to carry her sister in her arms and bring her to this land. Those images were kept alive for us. And in this story, I tell you about a time when Pele, traveling from island to island, and again, this is mythology that belongs to my people, she goes in the winds. And as she's traveling, she's called suddenly to an island by the sound of a drum. On that chant that I just did there, the background rhythm that you heard was the drum called the pahu. Pele had never heard such an instrument before. When she did get to hear this piece of rhythm coming to her, she was enchanted. She wanted to know, who was it that had this gift to call forth this sound? She reaches the island of Kauai in a place called Hanalei and enters a village to behold a young man sitting at the side of this drum. And as he is drumming and chanting, she changes into a young woman, enters the village and dances to him and entices him. Finds out his name is Lohiau. He is the young chief of the village. He falls madly in love with her. He stays with her for 4 days, and during that whole time, she tells him, you may not touch me. I am not of this land. And he believes her, and he goes according to her wishes. After 4 or 5 days being with him, she leaves to go back to the big island, Hawaii, enters into her domain, rises from her sleep, and calls her sisters and says, I want one of you to go and get this mortal. His name is Lohiau. He lives in the island of Kauai. I want you to go there to bring him to me. You may not touch him until I have been with him. All the sisters are sitting there saying, no way. I do not want to do this. Be just my luck. This person will touch me and Pele will smitten me to death. The favorite sister and the youngest, Hiiaka, turns and says, I will do it. I will go for you. Send me, I will be the messenger for you. As she's getting up to leave, she turns to her sister and she says, I ask you for this one promise, Pele, that while I am gone, no matter how long it takes, that you will not erupt in anger, that you will not send out your fiery lava and kill off the trees of Panaeva. And Pele, sitting there proud and hearty, says, I agree, you may leave. In the story, it tells about Hiiaka's journey and the people that she meets, and there are many. It tells about all the things she had to overcome. And one of them was crossing the island of Oahu. And when she crossed the island of Oahu, there is a mountain range there called the Ko'olau's. For us in the island of Oahu, where I come from, the Ko'olau's were an area where the cliffs jut straight up into the heavens, and the winds are fierce. There are pictures that they take today in a place called the Nu'uanu Pali, where people are actually standing this angle with the wind holding them up. And am I right, Margie? Yeah, I love it. I think it's just Margie, you remember that. With this in mind, as Hiiaka enters the pathway to cross these mountains, she needs to cross the mountains to get to Kauai to find Lohiau. As she reaches the mountains, it is the forces of nature that do not want her to cross. There are forces there which were saying, this cannot be. If this man Lohiau is to get together with this Madam Pele, this is not a good thing. So the forces of nature fight her. And this next chant that I'm going to dance for you shows what happens as she's trying to cross the winds and trying to fight the winds. Person is saying, please come and dance for us. And become solemn. There, Ko'olau. I'm caught by the winds and the rains. Thank you. and the winds pushed me forward and onto the cliffs as if to stop me at the bottom, holding me back from the crossing. Behind me too, this land. In the storytelling, it is good to tell you that there's some things that we all have to push through. And there are some things that are necessary to come up against us. There are some things that enable us to see things as being challenges, and our abilities to say, if I can surmount this challenge, I am not afraid to go on. This thing that we call the self-esteem, if spiritually it is together, emotionally it is together, you can cross through any of the channels. These are some of the things that the Hawaiians worked many, many years at keeping together. Part of the things that I'm so aware about with telling you these things is that Hawaiians are not a real verbal communicator with others who come from other cultures. The reason for this is that we are not aware as to how others see ha. We have no image to let us know where the hearts or minds of others rest at. I think last night's Vesper service, as I was sitting there, one of the things that hit me was the person talked about things that are kept in secret. And for the Hawaiians, many of the things that spoke about their spirit or their life had to be kept in secret after the missionaries entered the lands. And I say this openly because we finally received a letter of apology by the First Congregational Society in the land of Hawaii, apologizing for the past 150 years of the ways in which they termed the Hawaiian culture to be one that was tied with heathenism and paganism. For the Hawaiians did not have the same concept of God that the first Westerners came and brought with them. For the Hawaiians, their God was personal. Their God was close to them. For a fisherman, lawai'a. A lawai'a is someone who went out to gather fish, not just for his own consumption, for all those who were in his village. So he did things with the mind and the thoughts of the entire community. Upon deciding to go out to do any kind of fishing, he would first pray to his God of the fish of the sea and ask for him to be with him through the entire day, to enable him a wonderful catch and to enable him to come home in safety. Upon the completion of that day's harvest, he would then take fish back to that image that he worshiped and present it as a thanksgiving. We come together for Eucharist. We come together to speak to him about the good things and to ask him to be with us. We go then to the table to share his bread that gives us life. At the end of that, we turn to one another and we say, and peace be with you. And you carry that symbol with you as you leave. The Hawaiians did that as a daily part of their life. The day did not begin with them without saying a prayer, a thanksgiving. It did not end with them until they gave another prayer of the whole day's thanks and blessings through the night. For the Hawaiian, the image of the spirit being together and intact was so important that today you will find people who say, if I have to have surgery done, first let me go and be reconciled to those that I have broken with. And this image comes from a book that was put together by the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of a woman who lived for 116 years on one island. She is from the island of Molokai. And in this book, she tells a story to her grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and I think it's four or five generations after her, because she lived that length of time. And in her book, she explains to the grandchild that when you are born like a bowl of pure light. And as you grow, the days that you grow up, when you learn anger, a stone falls into this bowl of light. When you learn greed, a stone falls into this bowl of light. When you learn all the things that are harmful to you, those things fall into your bowl of light like a stone. Stone and light cannot share the same space. The stone will naturally cover up the light. And the little child says, "What happens when my bowl is completely filled with stones and there is no light?" And Tutu says, "Then you become like stone." And he says, "Tutu, what must I do to get rid of the stones?" And she says, "My child, take the bowl and turn it upside down and let the stones fall away." We use the same image. It is the beginning of that which the Hawaiians called Ho'oponopono. Ho'oponopono is a way of reconciliation. It is done usually once a year in a family. When it is done, it is at that setting that you are called to be true to each other. For the times that you hurt one another, for the times that you hold these feelings of anger, hurt, and hate against one another, it is at that setting that you are called to bring them out, to lay them on the table. And once it is brought out, it is not to determine who is right or who is wrong. It is simply to say, "This is how I have felt about you, and these are my reasons for it." And it's time for them to bring it to the close. Because once it is settled there, it is put to the side and never brought out again. And if you do decide to bring it out, you had better have very good reasons for holding those same feelings again. Very good reasons. There is an ongoing thing that my grandmother would teach us, and that is when we get into these fits with one another, if at the end we cannot kiss each other and hold each other close to one another, we are not of that same family. With this feeling of Ho'oponopono, we shared it with our community, and we ended up with about 175 people coming for one evening's reconciliation. And all we did was we placed five chairs around a circle with a table and a chair in the middle and a bowl, a crystal bowl. And we broke the entire hall up that way, so they were all small groups. What was touching for me was to see the old people, because while they would be sitting on the chair in the center picking at their bowl, all the others were called to simply place their hands on a part of the person's body and to pray for them. Once the person had gotten in touch with all of their stones and could empty them out, all they were asked to do was simply to lift the bowl up and turn it over. At that point, those who were praying for them were simply asked to remove their hands from the person's body and allow them to release their stone. This is our way of bringing into this Catholic idea of confession the touch that comes from our people, that belongs to our culture. And this Ho'oponopono has continued to be used in our community. And it is by far one of the ways in which we enable each other to be there for one another. I would like at this time to tell you that This Thursday, we're doing a Vesper service with the children, and Friday, we are going to be doing a celebration. And I don't know how many of you are going to be here for till Friday. I'm leaving on Saturday. Anybody else leaving on Saturday? Great, I can see you on the boat. But if you're going to be here till Friday, we would like to share with you some of the things we were hoping to do. These are things that which were recorded in a musical that Marty had written called Tales of Wonder. Where did he go? Oh, he went out. Oh, hi, Marty. I'm so glad you're here. Marty Hagen and Linda Evans and I will be doing music together. Linda and I had a wonderful time with some of your children this morning. It was wonderful to be with them. And with this in mind, I'd like to share with you some of the things we did with this musical. Again, it's creation. And Marty wrote several pieces of music that I had a chance to record with a woman that some of you might have met. Her name was Pam Smith, a black singer from New York who has a fabulous voice. And she's our friend, and we like to kill her sometimes, like now when she's not here. But we did this musical with Marty's wonderful writing, and we're going to do a piece called Wanohana, or Wanohana works like that.
Wanohana.
Wanohana. Okay. You can tell about Wanohana. I didn't tell what Wanohana was.
You didn't talk about Ohana? This is like Joe said, from a musical I wrote on storytelling. I was fascinated by how we pass on our faith through our person, not through printed page or through lectures, but through communicating who we are. And before we had the printed scripture, the stories of scripture were passed on through storytellers who would pass on the faith through themselves. And when I was at Joe's parish, we talked about the concept of ohana, the Hawaiian word for family. You mentioned ha, I suppose. To me, it was like ruah, the Hebrew feminine word for spirit. Ha permeates all their words, and ohana is the word for family, and the word ha is right in the center of the word for family, so the breath of life within this family. And I was so taken by that word for family that I wrote a song about community as ohana, and my publisher said, we can't put this word in a published song. Nobody knows what it means on the mainland. So we put an alternative, one great family, but whenever possible, I try and do ohana. It's a much richer word.
And the refrain that he uses goes, all of creation, one ohana. All of creation sings in you. Many the voices, one great music, part of me, and part of you. Okay? You can watch it and maybe join us the second time. Marty, you sing it on gesture.
All of creation, one ohana, all of creation sings in you. Many the voices, one great music, part of me and part of you.
Want to try that with me? And
all of creation, one ohana, all of creation sings in you.
Back in.
Many the voices, one great music, part of me and part of you. Here in the garden of creation, here is the home of life and love. Circled round by endless blessings, earth below and sky above. All of creation, one ohana, all of creation sings in you. Many the voices, one great music, part of me and part of you. There is a secret in creation, there is a mystery all around. All the creatures, all that grows here, light and darkness, every sound. All of creation, one ohana, all of creation sings in you. Many the voices, one great music, part of me and part of you. All of creation. ocean, one ohana, all of creation sings in you. Many the voices, one great music, part of me and part of you. Part of me and part of you.
The next piece we plan to also use is called All You Works of God. The words are, all you works of God, every mountain, star, and tree. This idea of bless is you are blessed. Bless the one who shapes your beauty, who has caused you all to be. One great song of love and grace, ever ancient, ever new. Raise your voices, all you works of God. Go something like this. If you're comfortable, join us.
All you works of God, every mountain, star, and tree, bless the one who shapes your beauty, who has caused you all to be. One great song of love and grace, ever ancient, ever new. Raise your voices, all you works of God.
Hanaho, one more time, all you works of God.
All you works of God, every mountain, star, and tree, bless the one who shapes your beauty, who has caused you all to be. One great song of love and grace, ever ancient, ever new. Raise your voices, all you works of God. Sun and moon, bless your maker. Stars of heaven, chant your praise. Showers and dew,
raise up your joyful song.
Raise up your joyful song.
All you works.
All you works of God, every mountain, star, and tree, bless the one who shapes your beauty, who has caused you all to be. One great song of love and grace, ever ancient, ever new. Raise your voices, all you works of God. Winds of God, bless your maker. Seas
chant
and
your
rivers,
praise.
Chant your praise.
Whales in the deep, raise up your joyful voice.
Raise up your joyful song.
All you works.
All you works of God, every mountain, star, and tree, bless the one who shapes your beauty, who has caused you all to be. One great song of love and grace, ever ancient, ever new. Raise your voices, all you works of God.
Raise your voice.
Raise your voices, all you works of God.
Hang on to each other. Anyway, that's it.
The tapes for that are in the bookstore. The music books can be ordered. I forgot to order them.
But I did get,
oh yeah, the tape books like that and the books like that. Thanks, Linda.
So where would we get the music books from?
I'll have an address over there. I forgot to order them, but you can get them through my publisher.
Do you have any questions? I mean, we got, yeah. After all, I go, oh God, I better quiet already.
Joe, in general, do you find it's very easy or very difficult to put together your Christian traditions with the ancient traditions that you are bringing. At this point, is it widely accepted, or is it just within certain churches?
I'm glad you asked that question. For the Hawaiians, when the first missionaries came, they saw hula as being something lewd, and you know, all kinds of other phrases went with it. And because of that, it was like, this is not acceptable before God. They did not know that the people who came from that land used it to tell stories, used it to enhance special events, also saw it as a time to play with one another, as an exchange of dance. I could only do this with you here and now, but there are dances which are done with men and women, and it is done together as partners. And the whole thing that goes on there becomes, well, one, it becomes a full-on expression of one accepting and loving the other. And the exchange becomes one of play and storytelling and a whole mess of other little things, little innuendos that you have to go, Some of it very funny, some of it very, very, watch it with your tea. But really, from the life that they come from. And basically, the language and the hula was something that just came out of the life of the people. And because of that, we use it in terms of the liturgies that we have put together when it is most appropriate, when in fact it catches the spirit that comes from that which was created for that dance. It would be crazy to do something where the readings are based at one level and you're doing something that has not reached that understanding yet. So it would be really important to know what things go properly with the reading. I can say this, that a lot of times in the congregation that I work with, this is used. This is called an ipu, and it came from Minnesota through Marty and Linda, because I was not going to bring mine over the waters.
Originally from Hawaii.
It's called an ipu. It's a hollowed out calabash, and it's made of a squash plant. This, in terms of hula, was the thing which called everyone to the gathering. Once this is picked up by the chanter, those who were dancing were called to pay attention to this. Those who were sitting and listening knew the language so well, they could hear the poetry and what was happening with it. The same thing when we come together for liturgy. As a matter of fact, our liturgies are done where the Kyrie is led with this. It is led with this. And once this starts...
Why did you do the Kyrie?
Hello, Marty. Okay. Because I don't have a piano here. A lot of things. The Kyrie was written in Hawaiian, and it just simply translates, Lord, the giver of life, have mercy. But it's done in a way which is chant, yet when I put the music to it, the blend is very different, and the melody becomes very up note. It's no longer any feeling of, oh God, I'm so bad, ooh, you know, nail me to the cross and everything. This Kyrie image has always been one which proclaims praise to you, Lord, for all that I am. I thank you and wonders that you enable me to be. That is how I wrote this Kyrie, and it goes something like.
I can play the chord.
Yeah, isn't it? I think it's in D. Anyway, we'll try. This is a mixture of both ancient and modern. Yeah, is it in D?
I thought it was an A.
No, it's in D, I think.
Okay. What's the second chord?
C. G. B flat.
Kahakue, ahonui mai.
he writes a lot of the music, the psalms and the
that we use in this community. You're right in asking if many churches are doing it. We are finally teaching the Catholic Church in the Diocese of Hawaii what it means to be Hawaiian, what it means to be from the islands. I had a chance to address the convocation meeting of the past March, and when I was asked to speak to the gathering, it was basically because they were discovering that they wanted to do an enculturation. When I walked in and took the podium, I said, I have to tell all of you that when I grew up as a child of Hawaiian ancestry and I walked into the first Catholic Church, there was nothing there that was Hawaiian. And what you said to me was, your God did not like my people. Your God had no use for my people. And that simply made me walk away and say, oh, I need to find another place to go to. And it was really difficult for 25 years of my life to even come to an image that said Hawaiians were acceptable. That has been something that, through the grace and love of my own grandma, has instilled in me this understanding that Hawaiians are such a minority. And the breath of life that we were taught to live with can sometimes be considered to be a part of utopia. And we are aware of that. We are greatly aware of it. So much so to the understanding that even for our children to live in their own land, it's becoming utterly impossible. And we're aware of this, and we're taking steps to make certain that we who belong to that land have the rights to live there without the ongoing economy pushing us out. So thank you for coming, and you know, thank you so much for taking this time to find out what the Hawaiians who are storytellers and dancers and great lovers of nature have to share with you. Mahalo. Thank you.